Brian Lehrer on WNYC, the Wall Street Journal's Greater New York section, the stuff of nostalgia now, Daily News, slashed staff or withdrawn from street-level reporting quite a bit. The Village Voice stopped publishing its print edition in September. That doesn't mean they're not still covering things online. But the New York Times has cut back on its local coverage of New York City, closing regional bureaus. In November, maybe you heard, Gothamist and DNA Info were shuttered after staff made a move to unionize. And those are just the relatively big dogs. Hyperlocal news sites like Brookliner are not far behind, unfortunately. Joining me now to talk about what it'll take for local media to survive in an increasingly hostile economic climate is Leanna Zagari, publisher and editor at Brookliner. That local paper is in a fight for survival right now. Welcome to WNYC, Leanna.
Thank you for having me.
So for people who may not be familiar with your site, first of all, can you explain to everyone what Brookliner is and what you cover?
Brookliner is a Brooklyn-wide news site that covers all things Brooklyn. We do investigative journalism, and we cover community boards and school board meetings, and we will also help you find your dog.
And Brookliner has had an amazing year editorially beyond the lost dog sightings. This year, the site received 4 awards at the 15th annual IPPES Journalism Awards at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. IPPES is independent press, right? That's what the IPPES acronym is for. Brookliner was awarded first place in the Best Investigative In-Depth Story category for a story on a new commanding officer at the 68th Precinct in Bay Ridge, Diker Heights, who took the helm in March despite a troubling record of allegations of civil rights violations against civilians. That's just an example of the kind of work Brookliner does. But you're in a life or death moment, aren't you?
That is true. Like many of the institutions you mentioned, everyone's been affected by the current economic climate and the news technology that enables us to consume so much, whether it's through Facebook or Twitter or Snapchat or Instagram, has also made it very, very difficult to make a living as a news organization that has to pay its bills and has to pay its staff. So, it's a challenging times.
And you write that you started your news site by advertising, quote, the old-fashioned way. What did that mean?
Well, the old-fashioned way is the advertising business, where you get classifieds, which is content in my mind, when you're consuming it, whether it's the ad from a local bar or a pizza place that targets your neighborhood. A lot of that advertising, however, has gone on to Facebook and Google and, you go to Craigslist when you need to find a new used sofa. So that's
the way. Yes, Craigslist has been one of the, not just Craigslist, but online classifieds detached from newspapers, has been one of the main economic drivers of old-fashioned newspapers downward.
Correct. It was the niche advertising, whether it was classifieds or real estate listings. Nowadays, you go to Zillow or, whichever other listing service you provide.
But, right. Now, one might think that with the demise last month of DNA Info and Gothamist, that a site like Brookliner would have an opportunity to grow. Is the impact actually in the opposite direction?
Well, yes and no. The demise of DNA Info is really hard for Brooklyn and for New York, because they did have excellent reporting, and they could have been twice as big and still would have had enough stories to tell about local issues. The issue is the business model, and their business model was a very wealthy man funding them, because there were no ads, and ultimately that makes it not sustainable in the long run. So what we're trying to do is go more the way of the New York Times and in some ways WNYC, where you have a reader-supported organization whereby the little donations and subscriptions fund your ongoing expenses and also give a very good read as to how well you're doing editorially. Because, you know, if your subscriptions drop, you're like not serving your audience. And I think that's a much better way of looking at it long term.
So we are member supported. And of course, we want everybody's member dollars. But that doesn't mean we're not going to bring you on when you're in basically a fundraising moment to save this important Brooklyn news outlet. So
correct.
What are you asking for?
Please go to brooklyner.com and become a paying subscriber. And if you don't live in Brooklyn, please support your other local news outlets, because without reader and listener support, the local news has very bleak future.
And the news site Patch, which some of our listeners know, it's in various neighborhoods, has become an exception to the rule and has become profitable as a hyperlocal news site. So what do they do, and what can other hyperlocal news organizations learn from Patch?
I think that, well, as someone, for full disclosure purposes, that Patch did acquire my sites in the first iteration some 6-7 years ago.
Okay.
So I think they have the right idea. And much like DNA Info and much like us, like, you believe in having a reporter per neighborhood or two, and you need to support, you need to be able to bring this kind of like in-depth reporting. What you can't do is bring it every day, and what you cannot do it be as frequent or as in-depth. So pick two: cheap, frequent, or
in-depth.
Or yes, or good.
My guest is Leanna Zaghari, publisher and editor of Brooklyner. Any Brooklyner readers out there want to call in or talk about some of the stories that they've done in 2017 that have been very lauded? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Or for that matter, shout out your own hyperlocal news source, as the big guys like the Daily News and the Times and the Wall Street Journal retreat from local reporting. 212-433-9692. Let's talk about one of your stories, this one that won the Ippy Award, about this precinct captain in the 68th in Diker Heights in Bay Ridge. What was the story? Do you have it?
The story was actually from the year before. That's how the awards go. But
so the award was given in 2017.
Right, for a story of 2016. What our reporter uncovered was that the precinct commander had not a very stellar record of following the rules, for lack of a better way of saying, including having a photograph taken of punching a protester through the Occupy events.
Wow.
So, yes, that was
photographically documented.
Correct.
And what happened to him?
Nothing.
Nothing. He's the commander.
Yes.
All right. So much for the impact of journalism, right? The whole institution is you. No, I'm kidding.
Well, it's I think there's ways and ways of journalism having impact, and I mean local news does have a lot of power, and it has power to help people.
Like if there's just scrutiny through having shed sunlight on the history of this commander, and he's
correct.
In power, it would probably dissuade him from doing anything like that again, or at least as casually.
Exactly, it's out and
without
open.
Without fear.
It's public, and that set the standard, even if there's not immediate consequences. But you can have immediate consequences as well. Like, we help fix a electrical issue in a bathroom in Bensonhurst Playground. That was a huge deal for a lot of neighborhood
Nick and Sunnyside, you're on WNYC. Nick, you there?
Oh, hey, how are you, Brian?
Hi, you're on the air.
It's a pleasure to meet you. No, I guess I'm one of the contributing writers for BedfordandBowery.com.
Uh-huh.
Which is one of New York Magazine's culture sites. We're like kind of like, but now like a very small school of fish, and now a very large pond here in New York.
Covering the Bowery neighborhood and Bedford-Stuyvesant, or what?
Oh, no, it's Bedford and Bowery. It covers downtown. It's run by NYU and New York Magazine, so it covers mostly downtown and North Brooklyn and a little bit of beyond.
Okay, and you just wanted to give a shout-out to that news organization?
No, I guess, I mean, I'm not exactly the biggest, but the best person on a business model, but I guess in the light of Gothamist and DNA going down, just, I guess, the next thing that comes along, and I'm sure something new will come along, but whatever does come along, it's just to really just write it out in nouns. Like, my critique of Gothamist was that up until the very end, they were like F-U-N-T-A as far as transit goes. And I wrote an article this summer that was about transit in the sense that my friends were the ones that got married on the M14 bus you may have heard about.
Missed that story, but it sounds cool.
Yeah, my friends Cara and OJ got married on the M14 bus. It made page six. It got an In Touch magazine last month. But I was the first person to break it. I was on that bus photographing it. We went up to the party. And then I rushed home in excitement to really get all my friends in the newspaper. And we had it first thing Monday ahead of when it really broke on Wednesday. And I was excited to basically, if you just take one story and you could make it apply to not only the bus driver, who I did take a portrait of, his name is Mike, real sweetheart. I also included a number of the people from the nightlife scene that attended the wedding, which was the after party was on the rooftop of the Standard.
I hear you. So kind of humanizing. Not every news story has to be an issue. Sometimes it's about people in a neighborhood. I'll bet that's true for Brooklyner too.
Right. I mean, the stories that we like to tell are the human stories. I mean, that you can tell anything through it. But going back to the models that you brought up in terms of how to fund local news organizations, I mean, historically, they've been either rich people's projects that for a while were really quite profitable through the classifieds. There's been public funding and there's been subscriptions. So I think we're seeing the other two going away and the subscriptions model kind of rising up through the...
And you too could be the first to break the story of your friend's wedding. We'll continue in a minute. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with Leanna Zaghari, publisher and editor at Brooklyner, and Barbara in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hi, Barbara.
Yes, hi, Brian. Longtime listener, lifetime resident of Brooklyn, New York. We recently were referred to a story in Brooklyner, which was about Jomar Chocolates, which we are lifelong also customers and fans of this family of the Jomar people. It's a place where people now bring their grandchildren and so on and so on. And we would like to see this continue because it is all about the good works, the human interest, and keeping people interested to be involved on any level in all of our neighborhoods. And I'd like to just give my appreciation to that and tell people to still go to Jomar and Brooklyner. Please give us some good other places that also deserve.
All right.
Thank you so much, Barbara. That you just made my day.
Thank you very much. Joshua in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joshua.
Hi. I'm a journalist, and I just wanted to note that listening to these stories made me think about how it always feels like the pressure is to go bigger, to go more prestigious into, like, national titles as a journalist, just from trying to make it work financially and from a point of ambition, and seeing how even I know that I overlooked my own neighborhood and my own local news. Has been listening to these stories has been really kind of sobering and eye-opening.
Well, we all have to start somewhere, and local news is, you know, for a reporter, oftentimes the first job that you get is covering local news, going to school board, going to police precinct, writing up a traffic accident. That kind of reporting then leads you to bigger pieces and starts off careers of many. I mean, most of the big political journalists started in local.
Right. It doesn't mean you don't want your young journalists to go on to have careers.
Absolutely not. I mean, it's in fact a fantastic place to start experimenting because you get to do a huge range of stories. You can do features, you can do profiles, you can do events, and you can experiment with mediums because it's not all just text, it's visual as well.
You also won, and Joshua, thank you, first place in the IPPI's Best Social Issues story category this year for a story on the removal of an elementary school principal following outcry over a father's arrest. What were the social issues at play in that story?
Well, that was a story by Alex Ellefson, also from last year, about a parent who spoke up on behalf of his child, and really the way the school handled it was not right. And it was not going to, you know, it could have gone away, but we stayed on the story and it ended up with the principal's removal. So it did highlight the power of people, like amplifying people's voices is what local media can do, and amplifying issues that wouldn't necessarily either be seen or be dealt with.
And it's not just awards that Brookliner wins. The news site has also gotten some results for the neighborhood, like changes in the community, like new crosswalks and things like that. So you get involved at that granular level.
Right. I take great pride in being able to help get a streetlight. And we're on a big campaign about getting crosswalk in front of a school that was the only new school that opened in Brooklyn this year, and there was just absolutely no safe way to get there. And so that has been a big story. Or there's another one where there was an oil spill in Gravesend earlier in the spring, and that ended up with legislation being introduced. So there is power in local.
Let's see if we can get one more caller in. Jennifer on the Upper West Side. You're on WNYC. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you? A little embarrassed. My comment was basically that one positive thing about written journalism, whether it's in magazines or newspapers, is that...
listen to your phone, Jennifer. Don't listen to the radio. We're on a delay.
Yeah, let me turn off the radio.
People wonder, why is there a delay? And the delay is because once in a blue moon, and it almost never happens, but once in a blue moon, a caller or even a guest, it has happened with guests, who inadvertently blurt out one of the seven words that you're not allowed to say on radio or television. And in order to stay in the good graces of the FCC, we then have to press what's called the dump button. That goes away, and then we gradually come back up to real time. But Jennifer, go ahead.
Okay. So my comment was basically that written journalism, whether it's magazines or newspapers, it's something that cannot be, messed up with. And like when you have radio or internet or, not so much radio, but like internet and TV media, that it's more susceptible to fake news, whereas journalism in written form is something that cannot be easily manipulated by foreign countries.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if that's actually true, because a lot of the stuff that was fake on Facebook from Russia was in written form. But I think that localness mitigates against it.
Localness mitigates against it. I mean, we're also a digital-only news organization, so there is the advantage of being able to be quick and respond and correct if a mistake is made. But you do need to build that kind of long-term trust, which you build by doing lots of stories accurately and reporting to your residents and readers.
Jennifer, you're on the Upper West Side. Did anybody ever get married on the M86?
No, they did not.
Not that you know of. That's such a sweet story. I love that M14 story. Just tell people, Leanna, how they can help save Brookliner if they are so inclined and they are your readers.
If you live in Brooklyn, please go to our website, which is bklyner.com, and become a paying subscriber. It's $1.99 a month or $5 a month, and that can fund a lot of very good reporting.
Good luck.